You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
What a tough act to follow. Oh my goodness. Give it up for Tyler one more time. Fantastic. As he so aptly said, it does take a village to raise a child, and obviously his village is here with us today. We are so happy to share your son with you, share your brother with you, share your friend with you. And for me, I can also attest that it takes a village to raise a child. And for many of you here, actually, you have been my village. My parents were baptized in this church in the 90s, and some of the first people who saw me as a tiny, tiny child, very premature, I was very tiny, I was very small, but it was in these walls. It was in the Veterans Auditorium where I grew up. It was also sometime in our neighboring ministry in Turning Point, where I did some more maturing of my own. And it was there that I actually had the pleasure of meeting Lucas and Alicia. They were my team leaders. And they fostered me, they nurtured me, they helped me grow. They saw me at my lowest, quite potentially my dumbest. I think I outdid myself past some time there, but that's semantics. But they are such pillars in my life as an individual. They are pillars not just in my life, but in other people's lives as well. They have continued to faithfully serve God now well into their marriage. I remember before they were even married. I remember before they were engaged. I do have that flex. I can't say that. But they have two amazing kids. They have a very, very loving home. And now they are here with us, gracing us with their presence. So please help me in welcoming Lucas and Alicia Perez.
Good morning. Yes, the West Side is here. I love it. Man, this gives me so much gratitude. I feel so grateful to be here because as we're singing these songs, it made me emotional because this is the next generation that's going to fill the stage, that's going to fill their communities, that are going to fill the world, and they get to learn it here. How amazing is that? And so again, thank you, PJ. Peyton James, I love that name. My wife and I, my name is Lucas, my wife is Alicia, and we have had the amazing pleasure of being able to be in the youth ministry, overseeing it for the past, since COVID, actually. And from there, we've been able to start a family. This is my oldest son, whose hand is all out. His name is Rowan. And the one who looks like he doesn't know where he is, that's Rio. And so we together are the Perez family, and I take everything back. When I was a teen, I said some pretty crazy things. I have judged parents. I have criticized parents. I take it all back, and as a former teen, I'm very sorry. Because it is very hard to take pictures with toddlers who don't want to be there. So we're really grateful. Also, my wife and I, we have been a part of the teen ministry forever. We actually are kingdom kids ourselves. So we grew up in our sisterhood of churches. Steve Lounsbury was one of my very first church ministers. And being able to see that from here to now, that your guys' work means something to me. And so our role is we also have been trained up, and now we are the current directors for youth camp, as well as we are part of the committee that puts teen camp together. Amen? Water wars, it's great. But man, it's a dangerous place to be as an adult. And more than that, we just love the teen ministry. We've grown up, we've been in the teen ministry ourselves, and we thought, man, there's no place else where God is calling us except to be here, ushering in the next generation. We've been given so much, the early quiet times, the late Bible studies, the Bible studies after Sundays, the devos, the midweeks, the church services, the hangouts, the sleepovers. We were part of it all. And all I have to say is, despite whatever could be hurtful or wrong, God is good. Amen. And so what we're going to do is we are going to talk through a scripture. And teens, children, anyone who is still dependent on your parents, we're just going to call you a child for now. And it's not personal. And we love you. But we're going to read a scripture that I'm sure has been used in different contexts, but might make you shudder a little bit. But bear with me. My hope is to give you guys either a deeper understanding, a newer understanding. And even if you don't have children, remember again that you also were a child at one point in time. So this still applies. So we're going to be in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. You guys with me, church? Yeah. Amen. All right. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So I know this one's a really scary scripture for some of you, but for me, what I think about is, I think about a piano. I got you guys' attention. And I think about it because if you've ever sat at a piano, whether you know how it works or not, you know this, that every key makes a sound, but not every sound is music. That makes sense? So you can press random keys. Can you consider that a song? It's just noise. But when someone skilled sets down, a composer who knows the story of the song, the pianist who knows how to draw the beauty of each note, a conductor who guides each moment, those same keys become something meaningful. Because the difference isn't the piano. Oh, he plays so well. It's just because of the one who's playing it that makes the biggest difference. And so this is what Paul, I believe, is painting this picture in Ephesians 5 and 6. And really quick, how has it been being able to go through Ephesians? This is one of the best books. Amen. Give it up for everybody. I love being able to sit in the scripture because Paul isn't giving you another rule book on how to be a good Christian in a family. He's showing us what a spirit-filled life looks like when it's expressed in relationships closest to us. And the ones where we are the most vulnerable, the ones where we are the most unfiltered, our truest selves. And let's be honest, home is a place where your Christianity gets tested the most. I mean, here, it's easy to be patient at church, a lot harder at home. It's easy to be gracious in public, harder behind closed doors. It's easy to worship with your hands held up and amazing to be able to sing this song, Gratitude, but it's harder to actually live out gratitude with a heart surrendered. And so this is why I believe the Spirit starts there. Because now Paul is saying in Ephesians 5, and just a little bit ago, be filled with the Spirit. And we sang Sanctuary, fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. And he doesn't then just talk about miracles, the flashy stuff, the preaching. He goes straight into marriage, straight into parenting, straight into family dynamics, as if to say, if you guys want to see the clearest evidence of the Holy Spirit working in you, look at the way you relate to the people in your home. Because a home reveals what you're really relying on, yourself or God. And so if we're going to stick to this musical analogy, I want to show us what our role in the Christian home, the house, that we are the children and God is the Father. We're going to switch it up. That the Father is the composer. And how many of you guys have watched Star Wars or have seen the movies Wicked and you know the composer and you know all of the ways that he's thinking? You're like, wow, he's going to do it like this and he's going to crescendo because it's getting to the part. It's the battle of the fates. And you're like, let's do this. We're ready. We've gotten to this point. That's the Father. He has the vision. And the Son is the pianist. He is the one who plays with unmatched precision and grace. And the Spirit leans in, just guiding each part of our lives into harmony with the heart of God. And you know when a song is rushed and when a song is beautiful, you know? And so the Father wrote the music long before we existed. And the Son, again, is there playing his part in submitting to Christ. Your home isn't meant to be a place of perfection, to be a perfect Christian family. And I know for all of you who have grown adult children, I know you know this is true. It is meant to be an instrument that is played to glorify God. And so today we're going to look at how each member of the family, the children, the parents, all of us, play a vital part in the music God wants us to create. And how amazing is music? No matter what age, stage, it is something that moves powerfully. And you can't compare Earth, Wind, and Fire to Taylor Swift. But you know, for some people, it is the most amazing thing on Earth. And that's good. And so, okay, we are going to talk about the first one. We're going to talk about the children. Anybody who is 18 and below, let's just stick with that. Sounds good? Children. obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Paul is not saying, children, just do what your parents say or else. What he is saying, and this is really, really important for you to catch. What if Paul is saying, this is how you learn to respond to God, by practicing with your parents. So in Ephesians, again, I love this book, Paul is repeatedly describing the Christian life as learning how to walk. Walk in love. Walk as children of light. Walk wisely. And obedience is one of the first ways that we as the children learn how to walk with God. It trains the heart. It forms the ears. It teaches them the rhythm of God's voice. So this is why Paul adds, and this is, thank you so much, Paul, for adding in the Lord in this scripture. Because children, you're not just obeying because your parents are always right or they're perfect. But we obey because the Lord is trying to train you to recognize their authority, their love, and stability. And so that when he speaks, your hearts are already tuned for him. Because I think about myself as a young boy playing piano. I didn't understand music theory. I didn't understand how a chord was put together. But when I learned to listen, what is my dad playing? How does he play that? And one of the first songs I learned how to play is the Scooby-Doo song. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? And I was so excited when there are people who are writing orchestral amazing pieces. I was excited that I could learn how to play Mary Had a Little Lamb. And my simple actions, trying to learn from my dad, became something beautiful now. So this is what Paul wants for you as the young ones. It's not obedience just to be controlled. It's about learning harmony. And again, this is what it can sound like as a child, right? You kind of shudder because you're like, stop playing, that is a noise. Until one day, you start to realize that they start to pick up on the tune of your house. And so we're going to get to the next part in this commandment, and Paul quotes the fifth one, and he says, honor your father and mother. Obedience is an action. This is one of the biggest kingdom kid assassinations in their heart, is our attitude. And I know I have taken out the trash countless times, begrudgingly. I have turned off my video games, and I resented my parents because they don't understand. You can't pause a game online. You're going to ruin my streak. Do you not understand, mom and dad, who work 10 hours a day? Do you not? And we laugh, but it's true. Because you can obey while rolling your eyes. You can obey while complaining. You can obey while resenting. And this is why Paul attaches a promise to it. And this is a great promise, that it may go well with you. Paul is not saying that every child who's obedient is going to have an easy life. Case in point, trust me, I'm sure the Lounsberries can see so many ways that I have messed up and have failed. But it's not about getting it right. It's about obedience and honoring my parents. And that is obeying and being able to honor God. And so this is the beginning of the Christian home. Because I remember in my life, I mean, again, kingdom kid, grew up my whole life. This is all I ever knew. And I started studying the Bible as soon as I turned 14. I said, Dad, when is the earliest I can start studying the Bible? My other friends are studying the Bible. It looks like they're getting it and they want to get baptized. I want to do this too. When can I do it? And my dad, being the amazing wise human he is, he's like, I think that might be a little too early for you, son. I said, no, it's not. And so, how about when I'm 14? And he said, all right, give it a shot. So I started studying the Bible. I did it all, guys. I had Bible studies. I don't know if you know this brother, Rashim Turner, really awesome guy. But we had Bible studies. We had everywhere, late nights, early mornings. I did all the homework. I read all the scriptures. I prayed all the prayers. I did it. Sinless, easy. Prayer list, easy. Next one. But what I actually didn't understand was it just kind of felt like information to me. Because so many of you guys, as young teens, you get introduced, get this, you get introduced to God's people before you actually get introduced to God yourself. You see, sit in the chairs to listen, to when there's a good thing that he said, to stand up when they pray, and to make small talk, and then go home. We know that. You don't have to teach me that. I learned it here. But what I didn't know how to learn was how to have that true relationship with God, because I wasn't looking in the right places. my parents. And so for years, again, I studied from when I was 14. It wasn't until I got to college that I actually felt like the Spirit pressed the right note. Beautiful. And it hit me like a wave, and I remember this. Suddenly, everything that I learned, all those years where you felt like, man, is my son even listening? Is my daughter even comprehending the gravity and the beauty that is Christ? Yes. The answer is yes. But what happens is everything I learned started to harmonize, and it convicted me to follow Jesus, get baptized, and participate in the family. And so what felt like scattered music notes actually started to become music. Not because I changed suddenly, but because the Spirit finally connected all of the years of teaching into one clear melody. And that melody for me was, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way home. Don't we all love home? That's the place where we can feel relieved. Not a place we run away from, it's a place we want to return to. And again, I don't know if you guys care about the 91 freeway, but for me, it's a special place. It's weird because I will never forget, and I thank God that I was driving home on the 91 freeway. It was pitch black, and all the scriptures, all the Bible studies, all the devotionals, all the prayers that people have prayed with me, they flooded my mind. And after years of running from God, criticizing God, judging God, He changed my life. He chose a specific time when I was alone with Him to change my life forever. And it does happen, but it's not yours to decide. It's God's. And that should hopefully take a relief off of some of you, because again, no one was here to have this last Bible study with me. It wasn't just on my own as well, young ones, because all of the parents have been planting seeds for years and decades, and all of the helpers have been watering. But ultimately, it was God that made me grow that night. And so don't lose heart. God is working. And so speaking of all of the planters, Paul then addresses the parents. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Meaning the tone of the home can either open a child's heart to God or close it in fear. Parents are called to create a home shaped by gentleness and steadiness of Christ. And let's get one thing straight. Gentleness should not be misunderstood as passivity. Jesus was gentle, but He was firm and submitted to Christ. He submitted to God. And so this was personal for me because, again, I grew up in this church. I know the rules, and I know how to break all the rules. And so if you were to judge me from biblical standards, I was doing everything wrong. And of the long list of things that I was doing to hurt God, there was one outstanding one, was that I was in a long-standing, intimate relationship that I knew wasn't pleasing God. Like, you didn't have to tell me. I already knew. And so I was terrified. Like, I cannot express to you how terrified I was to be exposed and found out, to feel rejected by my parents, and honestly, to feel that feeling of knowing that I felt pointless. My life was pointless. I felt numb, and that maybe my church wouldn't love me anymore. But looking back, what I remember, it wasn't the shame, it was the atmosphere my parents created for me. They weren't perfect by any means, but they also didn't crush me or corner me. They didn't provoke me with harshness. You should know better, Lucas. Don't you know? Yes, I do know. Instead, their steadiness, their patience, their refusal to react out of fear and anger actually gave the Spirit room to work in my heart. And it created a space where conviction would grow instead of fear. And I know this one's scary for so many of us. I have a 3-year-old. I am terrified at what my actions are going to convey in my son one day. But when I think about Paul, when he says, do not provoke, I think about, don't crush your children with your expectations. Don't shame your children with your words. Don't rule over them with fear or frustration. Don't let unresolved anger, become the family's metronome. And if for any of you guys who don't know what a metronome is, just think about your signal lights. Sometimes it can be infuriating, but is undealt with anger a normal part of your family's timing? That things just get swept under the rug, and that's just home. The Spirit doesn't conduct a home through force. He conducts it through gentleness, through truth, through steady leadership. And so this is why I believe Paul gives this positive instruction. bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. That same word for bring them up, I believe is the same word they used back in the previous chapter as to nourish your own body. And so we see this is to feed, to nourish, to support, to develop. What does it look like for you as a parent to feed their hope in God, to support them as they undergo hardships? When they get into relationships that you don't approve of, or they have a really messy breakup, nobody wants to go through that, but we want to support. How do we do it? To develop their minds to respond righteously and to care for their souls. And this is the one that always convicts me, through prayer. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I feel like God already knows. But am I praying on my knees for God to guide my son in ways that I never can? That's humbling. Because a home shaped by the Spirit is a safe place for conviction. Not a place where children run from God, but to run to God. Parents, I know I'm not trying to speak down on you, but I'm trying to lift you up. Because what happens is when we set the tone, it reflects Christ's patience. Children can hear the Spirit more clearly, even in their lowest moments. And I am a testament to that. In my lowest moments, when I felt so lost, I knew praying on my knees would do something. And you didn't have to. And I got to watch my parents pray on their knees when things were unspeakably hard. When I was criticizing my parents for not having enough money so that we can have the internet turned on, or so that I can have my cell phone on to text people. And they're trying to think about how to feed their son. Guys, parents, you guys are amazing, but also we have an amazing responsibility. And so how is the tempo and the tone of your home? Does it sound like Christ, or does it sound like chaos or control? Because it's not about being right, it's about being righteous. And if we can manage this, God leading the way, we can hear more clearly the harmony in the home and what it sounds like. Isn't that amazing? I love how Jesus is always sharing this, and I want to be able to bring up my wife for this next part.
Hi, guys. So we've been talking a lot about this idea of parents and children, because that's literally what it says in the scripture. But we want to really drive this in that this is for everybody. Whether you are a parent and maybe you're like, oh, well, I don't have kids, so let me just turn my mind off for this. Or, oh, I'm not really in my parents' household anymore, this doesn't apply to me. But it does, because this is our household. This Westside Church family household. This LAICOC household. And so we, you know, if we go back to this idea of, I can do it, the home as God's instrument of harmony, when you think about, you know, what Paul has been talking about for the last two chapters, he really drives us an idea that the Spirit is the conductor. And for anyone that's done orchestra, whether like in elementary school or maybe you do it professionally or anything, but when you have a conductor, you are supposed to have your music, your sheet music that you're reading, just under eye level so that you can see the conductor at all times. Because he might change the pace up, he might, you know, want to go something slower or louder or whatever. You have to rely on him, not just what's on the sheet music in front of you. And if we keep this idea of the Spirit as our conductor, we have to keep our eyes fixed on him for his rhythm, to see how we follow him. He sets the rhythm so that we can keep the unity. And he guides each person's part. That's why they look to this section and then that section and this section. He's looking all the time. And when the home is in harmony, we have this incredible opportunity. It brings glory to God, and it helps people find their place in his story. It helps lives be changed. Lives like Tyler, lives like myself. I was reached out, or my parents were reached out to when I was 5. So I've been here pretty much my whole life. And shout out to the West Side. I was also here for 1 year when I was at college. So woo-hoo, it's great to be back. But this is our family. And it's not about us playing it perfectly or playing it right or having the right obedience or whatever. That is a response to Jesus, to his touch. And this is incredible. We have this amazing opportunity, but it's also a target for the enemy. He would love nothing more than to come and sit down on the piano and introduce chaos, introduce division, and make noise. And he plays that through comparison. He plays that through our own insecurities, our old wounds, unspoken frustrations. Now, the enemy has no creativity, so he can't come up with something new, but he can distort what God has already written. And so some signs that shows when the home is out of harmony is when we try to play ourselves, when we are trying to take control, like, no, God, this is how it should be played. Or when we compare. And I fall subject to this all the time, especially in my own parenting. It's amazing how I was the best parent before I had kids. I knew all the right things, right? And I'm sure all of us have had those moments where we eat our words, we are humbled by our own circumstances when we're not in them. But once we get in there, you're like, oh, this is hard. It also falls out of harmony when we start relying on our own willpower. And I'll share a little bit more about that when we focus on the cross. But when we are trying to white knuckle and make it through our own way, that's when we're losing sight of our conductor, when we start trying to take control. And when we start reacting instead of responding. Because sometimes my reactions are not kind. But when I have a moment to think and breathe and respond, that's much more righteous. But our home can have an amazing harmony. And that happens when children are responding in the Lord. And replace child with your name. It doesn't just mean a person that has a parent, but when you are responding in the Lord to your coworkers, to your roommates, to your spouse, to your boss, to all of these people. And when parents are able to lead gently, whether you're in a place of leadership, your Bible talk leader, or you are, you know, leading children's ministry or an usher, when you are leading gently, Christ gets to play at our heart, and the Spirit gets to conduct the household. So even when we do fall out of harmony, there is great news, because the conductor doesn't stop. God isn't just, sorry, my bad. The conductor and God isn't like, well, they messed up, time to call it, we're done. The piano isn't like, man, I just cannot play this. And the composer doesn't rewrite the piece, but instead he perseveres with us. And he's still trying to get our attention. He's like, follow me, so that he can guide and restore that harmony.
She's a great mom, an amazing wife. I love her. But now I want to be able to just bring it home. And I wanted to tell you a story about one of the moms in our ministry. And she's an amazing disciple. And this might make some of you parents shudder a little bit. But brace yourselves. It's going to be okay. I promise. God has a plan. But what she does is she knows who's in control. Is it her and her husband? Ultimately, it's God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus that's at work in the family. And so she has three amazing boys. And what she did is, because she was trying to focus on how does God want my house to sound like a harmony, is, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create a free pass. And I was like, ooh, what's a free pass? She's like, well, if ever my kids are feeling anxious and afraid to speak to us about something they know they did wrong, they can ask for a free pass. And what happens is I will listen and I will set the tone as gracious when they speak. I won't give them the punishment that they think they deserve, but I'm going to honor them and know that God is in control, and I'm not the one who is going to ultimately judge their hearts at the end of the day. It's God. And I cherish my relationship, and this is how she stops being passive and reactive, but sets the kids up for success. Amen? But I don't know if your kids would thrive with a free pass, but the homework is, what can we do as parents to help the house sound like a harmony? Are they afraid because mom and dad's going to ask them how their day was and they know it was bad? Are you going to set them up for failure and lecture them? Or are we going to set them up in a way where we're going to be proactive and say, you know what? Even though I know you're going to fail, I know God never will. And I know you, God is shaping you and molding you. Amen? And so some of you guys as parents, some of us, we grew up in homes that sounded like a symphony. Others, we grew up in houses that sounded like pure chaos. Some of us are trying to build houses now that are different from what we experienced when we were younger. And some are doing everything that they can do to keep their house from falling apart. No matter where you come from or what your house sounds like, I want you to hear this. The whole passage is not about God evaluating your performance. It's about inviting you into his harmony. And so again, as you guys step out this week, as we step out this week, don't worry about playing everything perfectly, because we have time to just be able to let God lead the rhythms, lead your moments, and for the Spirit to conduct the pace of your days. And if you do that, harmony won't be something you force. It will be something that God forms. And I didn't think this was going to move my heart, but I watched some videos about what the role of a conductor is. Nobody knows and is more passionate about the music than the conductor. He knows everyone's part, the flute section, the violins, the cellos, the trumpets. They know it all. And you know exactly when to bring you up, when to bring you down, when to increase the pace and when to slow it down and make it small. I started crying because I used to think as a kingdom kid that God is just the one who sets everything in motion and he steps far away. But he is intimately aware of your situations. He is intimately aware with the way that you struggle, your wounds, the way that you were brought up. He knows it all. And he's not here to try to change your story. He's here to remind you that he's written your story before you even knew it. And so if you know a conductor like this, that God is our conductor, we can play freely. Children, what is it going to feel like for you guys to play freely this week? To enjoy making mistakes knowing that God is going to lead you through your parents. And parents, how can you lead freely? Knowing that you don't have to harp on everything or feel insecure that someone's going to look in and judge your parenting, but that God is conducting your lives and he knows every step before you even make it so you can walk and make mistakes confidently. Amen. And so I want to lead this into communion as we be able to take the juice and the bread today. Amen.
So as we take a minute to think about communion, I want us to remember how there's a scripture in Ephesians. Oh, sorry, I have it. Hold on. Ephesians 2, calling back to this lesson, that it says, he himself is our peace. And sometimes we can feel like we need to be the ones to make things happen. Again, going back to the idea of when our home falls out of harmony, when we're trying to white knuckle our day. I know for me, having two small kids, I try to rely on myself a lot and feel like I am going to be the one to get us through the day. And of course I fail. And the moments that humble me the most are when I have failed, when I have lost my cool, and seeing my kids' tiny little hands and tiny little faces and their eyes that have been hurt by me. And I'm able to remember, I can't do this myself. And that can apply that to whatever that is, your work situation, your roommate situation, your marriage, your children, whatever. We try to do this on our own, but Jesus is our peace. He himself is the one who leads us through this. And so there's no effort, there's no discipline or good intentions, it's Jesus. And so he went before us. He took on this this cross and this judgment so that we can have that freedom, just like what Lucas was saying, that we can play freely. And so I hope as we take time to pray and reflect on this, on his body that was broken for us and his blood that was spilled to wash us clean, that we can remember that he gives us the freedom to figure this out. So let's pray. God, thank you for taking on the punishment and the consequence that we deserved. That you are so good and you want to be in relationship with us so desperately that you cleared every obstacle. Thank you for knowing every situation, every family dynamic, every hardship right now, every hurt, every wound, and also every victory, every hope that we have through you. I pray that we can remember that it's not us who directs us, but we have freedom in following you, freedom in the victory that you bought for us. Thank you, Lord. I pray as we reflect that we can feel your comfort and feel your guidance. We love you so much. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.